Shifting to the diplomatic and domestic political picture, and the single most consequential foreign policy decision to emerge from the Trump White House this week is the tentative agreement to let Saudi Arabia enrich uranium without the standard safeguards that have governed nuclear technology transfers for decades.
For listeners who aren't steeped in nuclear nonproliferation policy, let me put this in concrete terms. The standard requirement in civilian nuclear agreements, what's called a 123 agreement under the Atomic Energy Act, typically includes what's known as the gold standard, which means the recipient country agrees not to enrich uranium or reprocess plutonium domestically. The United Arab Emirates accepted this standard. South Korea accepted it. Saudi Arabia has explicitly refused it. And Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has openly stated that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, Saudi Arabia will pursue one as well.
So what Trump is tentatively agreeing to is giving Saudi Arabia civilian nuclear technology and allowing them to run their own enrichment program without the legal commitments that would prevent them from diverting that enriched uranium toward weapons-grade material. The justification from the administration's perspective is probably that this prevents Saudi Arabia from turning to China or Russia for nuclear assistance, which would be worse from a strategic standpoint. But the non-proliferation community is alarmed, and for good reason.
The historical parallel here is what happened after India's 2008 nuclear deal, where the U.S. essentially accepted India as a de facto nuclear weapons state despite the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That deal permanently weakened the NPT regime as a universal standard. A Saudi enrichment exception would be even more destabilizing because it's happening in the same regional theater as active Iranian nuclear tensions and while military conflict is already underway.
Moving to domestic politics, Senator Ted Cruz has authored a term limits constitutional amendment, and the timing is explicitly linked to Senator Mitch McConnell's hospitalization, which has now entered its second month. What's remarkable about this moment is the coalition it's activated. You have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ron DeSantis both expressing support for the accountability reform conversation, which tells you something about how broad the public appetite for change has become.
Cruz's amendment would limit senators to 2 6-year terms and House members to 3 2-year terms. Constitutional amendments require 2/3 majorities in both chambers and ratification by 3/4 of states, 38 of 50. The practical pathway is extremely narrow, but the political value of the proposal for Cruz, who is facing his own electoral pressures in Texas, is that it positions him as a reformer without actually requiring him to give up his own seat immediately, since grandfathering provisions are typically included.
The McConnell situation has genuinely unnerved the Senate establishment in ways that go beyond one man's health. He's been the most powerful congressional Republican of his generation, and his month-long absence during active legislative negotiations, the SAVE Act, the Clarity Act, the Big Beautiful Bill's various components, has exposed how much institutional knowledge and political capital is concentrated in a single aging figure.
Speaking of the SAVE Act, Senator Lisa Murkowski's break with Trump on that legislation is significant. The SAVE Act would require documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote. Murkowski's specific objection is deeply practical. She's warning that in rural Alaska, obtaining and presenting the required documentation could cost voters more than $1,000 in travel and administrative costs. Alaska has indigenous communities where birth certificates and passports are genuinely difficult to obtain. And Murkowski is saying plainly that this bill would disenfranchise her constituents.
Her defection joins a small but meaningful number of Republican senators who've broken with the legislation, and it's contributing to the Clarity Act's declining odds of passage before the August recess. The Senate simply doesn't have the votes or the time, and the window is closing fast.
The Mike Lindell situation is almost a separate category of political absurdity. Trump endorsed the MyPillow CEO for the Minnesota governorship, and it has now emerged that Lindell is still registered to vote in Texas, not Minnesota. This is a man whose entire political identity has been built around election integrity and the sacred sanctity of voter rolls, and he hasn't updated his own registration to the state he wants to govern.
The Luna insider trading allegations are the other story that deserves attention. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Congresswoman Luna allegedly told an associate in advance that Trump would pick J.D. Vance as his running mate, enabling a winning polymarket prediction bet. That's now under CFTC investigation. Political prediction markets have been a growing regulatory gray area, and if this allegation holds up, it would represent exactly the kind of insider information abuse that regulators have been warning about.